now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up.
Featherstone. Once again, on a Tuesday evening, we are live, as Dusty Rhodes would say, live and in living color, getting funky like a monkey, if you will. Speaking of that, I just want to thank everyone who supported the one-year episode last week. We had Eliza Burke on the show, had a fantastic interview, had so many tweets, just having good reviews about the interview. I posted it on WrestlingInc.com as well. And just a ton of good reviews on that interview. And I just want to thank everyone. So many people listened to the interview. The numbers were astounding. So just continue to support Crave Wrestling. Continue to support Pancakes and Power Slams as we continue to have fun and talk wrestling. I mean, that's why we're here. The wrestling community is so large, and I'm thankful to provide a platform for us to talk a little bit of wrestling and do a little bit of trivia. Another nice little segue here. We're going to start off quickly with our first trivia question. We're going to try to get as many trivia questions as we can as possible. Log into the chat room. I see some people logging into the chat room now. Also, tweet at Crave Wrestling. Be sure to stay in the chat room. And another thing, I'm going to start giving credit where credit is due and saying the names of the people in the chat room. So if you'd like to log in as your name, instead of just a guest, I usually get a bunch of guests. Another thing, stay in the chat room, even if there's not a lot of activity. Just be sure to answer the trivia question and start a conversation. And if it is fitting enough, I will go ahead and say it live on air. So we're going to start off with our first trivia question. What two former WWE commentators now work for ESPN? Again, what two former WWE commentators now work for ESPN? Again, be sure to stay in the chat room. Usually get a lot of people going, stay in the chat room, and then people get going in and out. If we have people stay in the chat room, it will just be consistently flooded. Usually a lot of people go in, stay in, and people go in and out as well. So just be sure to stay in, have some nice little conversation in the chat room. And as I used to, like I said, I'm going back to a lot of things that worked in the past. So I will say some things or answer some questions that I see that is in the chat room as well. So like I said, I want to make this as interactive as possible. Because that was the mission from the beginning, making this show as interactive as possible. So feel free to call in 347-884-8452. Again, the number is 347-884-8452. So far in the chat room, no tweets so far. And so far in the chat room, we have one correct answer. But the other one has yet to be said. All right, let's go to Raw. We first start off with a John Cena in-ring promo. Now, this angle, this feud going into WrestleMania 29, and I've said it before, between The Rock and John Cena, it's rather lackluster. Way too much talking. We haven't had much interaction whatsoever. Rock Bottom at the Q&A session. But other than that, a lot of talking when The Rock is actually there. So, I mean, it's going to draw. But at the same time, it might be a disappointment. It just may. Unless the WWE has something up their sleeve and pull a wool over eyes and do a huge swerve, which is actually rumored now. Right now, the finish is yet to be determined, and there's a couple of very extreme cases that I won't spoil, but at the same time, I think that one of the projected finishes, it's going to be good. It's going to be real good. So, I'm looking forward to seeing if there is a swerve. Hopefully there is, because this 2 years in a row, so be it. So the in-ring promo was not that good. Cena get booed all the time, but he really gets boring chants, and the crowd in Washington, D.C., pretty hot crowd, by the way. The D.C. crowd gave him some boring chants, and I definitely don't think that Cena was expecting that, especially since, you know, he won me over. Many people know that I'm not a John Cena fan, but he won me over last year with his mic work leading into WrestleMania against The Rock. I believe that he won up The Rock. I believe that he was better than The Rock on the mic last year. But this year, it's back to the corny, cheesy. Yeah, I'm just not buying it. So that is the main event. That's one of the highest marquee build matches, and I don't think it hasn't lived up to the hype. It hasn't eclipsed last year whatsoever. I don't even think it's matched last year whatsoever. And so we'll see if the WWE Universe will be satisfied with what may be the finish with that match. Then we get Big Show and Sheamus and Randy Orton defeating 3MB. It was good that the Big Show got the win here, because it's good writing, because it's building the story of the Big Show gaining the trust of Sheamus and Orton. So I like that part. I'm okay with that. I guess the Big Show's addition is just eventually further going to make the Shield look good, because we'll get to the WrestleMania predictions coming soon. But I guess for what it's worth, it's okay. I was totally against it, but as the weeks progressed, I finally bought into it a bit, and I'm okay with it. It's just that Show changing, turning face, kind of. He's kind of a tweener now, so I guess that may work for him. I just wonder what will happen to Show post WrestleMania, because I can see Orton and Sheamus continuing to tag together, which would lead to an Orton heel turn and a Sheamus on Orton feud. But the Big Show, what's next for him? Kali, Mark Henry, I'm not quite sure, but Big Show should savor this moment, because I don't see much relevance for him in the upcoming months after WrestleMania. Shield cuts a promo from crowd after the match. Like I said, a decent way to continue the build. The We the People video shot earlier from D.C. I'm not buying again. I was trying to give it a chance, but this Alberto Rio and Jack Swagger feud is just a no to me. I don't understand why they thought it was going to work, but Del Rio's just not getting over much as a face, and Jack Swagger, his reactions, I mean, he's not really getting over as a heel, even with Zeb Coulter. Zeb Coulter is a good addition for Swagger, but I don't see this going far whatsoever. This is just, to me, it's just another flash in the pan. I don't see any type of longevity with Jack Swagger's current gimmick with Zeb Coulter. Then they had a backstage interview with Del Rio. Again, I like Del Rio as a face, but he's just not getting over. And like I've said before, they're trying to make him the next Latino star, basically to have the torch passed to him from the Guerreros and the Mysterios. But for some reason, the crowd isn't into him as much as they thought and hoped. So I hope that, he continues his face run. His heel run was getting very stale, and I was definitely opposed to it. But I do think that they should not thrust him to being a top face. He really needs to work his way up. As a matter of fact, I think a feud with him and Cesaro would be good. He needs to drop the world title because it's not that intriguing right now. The feud leading to WrestleMania, I mean, that's the second or really even first and a half, most important title in the company, and the feud is just kind of trial and error, and it's just not working out too well. So I think that Del Rio should drop the title. I think to continue in his U.S. support, he should vie to become the U.S. champion, and he should feud with Cesaro. That would give Cesaro a good feud and have the possibility for Del Rio to work his way up to the main event scene again, because he was thrusted there, really didn't work, and WWE probably going to have to count their losses on this one. Dolph Ziggler defeating Daniel Bryan. Great match, as expected. Big E applies the finisher post-match on both Daniel Bryan and Kane. To me, I mean, we've seen too much of this throughout the weeks. So I think it's pretty much a setup to the fact that the Big E and Dolph Ziggler are trying to look like a threat, or trying to look intimidating, leading to the tag team match, which will just, it'll just lead to Kane and Daniel Bryan winning. I don't see Ziggler and Big E winning the tag team titles, especially since I really feel a Dolph Ziggler cash in really soon. So, no correct tweets. Todd Grisham, we have to. I guess the wrestling world forgot about Todd Grisham. He's also a commentator for ESPN. Next question, who were the Colossal Connection? Who were the Colossal Connection? All right, next we have the HBK in-ring promo, interrupted by Triple H, and then HBK gives Triple H a pep talk. Brock Lesnar appears with Paul Heyman. This is a decent segment. It's good to see, HBK back. Seemed like he went a bit out of character last night, which was a bit surprising. But, Heyman was good on the mic. He prevented Brock Lesnar from going in to the ring, and he said, you have to pay to see him. And I think it was good. Paul Heyman's mic work really knows how to save segments, period. And I know that definitely for sure. Andre the Giant and Haku with Bobby Heenan, great job. Next question is, who are the powers of pain? That would be the next question. I'm going to try to ask a lot of trivia questions today. Got some good reviews on my trivia. So tweet at Crave Wrestling, log into the chat room and answer the question correctly, or if you feel bold enough to risk it being right or wrong on air, live, call in 347-884-8452. Wade Barrett defeats Zack Ryder. Yeah, you know, it's a really kind of a throwaway match. I mean, it's really made Barrett look stronger. I mean, you can say someone looks stronger by defeating Zack Ryder, but you really can't say that with confidence, or you can't really say that with any type of bravado, so to speak, because, I mean, Ryder is just a lost cause now. I mean, at least he's trying to continue his social media success and promoting his match against catering at WrestleMania. He even has a hashtag for that. So, I mean, you know, he's still doing that. Still sells the merchandise, but for some reason, that's about it. He doesn't win matches. As a matter of fact, if anyone want to tweet or say in the chat room, the last time Zack Ryder won a match on Raw or SmackDown, I mean, that would help, because I definitely don't recall the last time that Zack Ryder won a match on Raw or SmackDown, and that's pretty embarrassing itself. More scuffling between, more verbal exchanges between Barrett and Miz. Now, here's another thing. The Intercontinental Championship was announced to be a match on the pre-show, which is planned to be an hour, and they're having a post-show as well, so we're going to have a ton of WrestleMania, which is good, but at the same time, I would have preferred like a 20-man battle royal to be a little bit more extensive, to go a little ways, because I think that the Intercontinental Championship match should have been on the card, simply because we may have a throwaway match in the card as maybe a buffer match, but at the same time, right now the mid-card champions are not being in any type of marquee role. I mean, you can say Barrett is being, you know, involved. At least he is having segments on Raw and SmackDown, so I do give that to them. That's fine. But Cesaro's the U.S. champ. He's had a championship since August, and there's no way in the world that he shouldn't be any type of relevant angle right now. Sin Cara's cleared to wrestle again, so maybe they can pick back up from that. Sin Cara has a victory over him from the main event, so something. I mean, I really hope that we see Antonio Cesaro defend his U.S. title on WrestleMania. I mean, it's the biggest stage of them all, and I mean, I really think that we should see that. So, I got a tweet here. Fandango and Big E will make their major in-ring debuts at WrestleMania. Do you think more guys should debut on pay-per-view in the future? Great question there. It depends on, and by the way, not only Fandango and Big E, we also have The Shield and Ryback making their debuts, and all six of them are from NXT. So kudos to, NXT / FCW. So kudos to all of them there. from making their debuts on WrestleMania. And they were considering Bo Dallas for the Elimination Chamber. Yeah, I'm fine with it. I think that we need to see a new wave of wrestlers anyways. We need more people to have some type of to give kind of like the seasoned people more feuds. We need more Chris Jerichos. We need more people who are willing to put people over, like Jericho. I mean, like, for instance, why can't we have you know, Paige come up and go against Caitlyn? You know, why can't we have you know, Richie Steamboat come up and vie for the U.S. title, you know, against Antonio Cesaro? So that's another NXT person, Antonio Cesaro. So another person making his WrestleMania debut. So that's awesome. So making a lot of debuts. Hopefully we see more of this new wave of wrestlers making more debuts. So to answer your question, yes, I think that there should be more wrestlers that make debuts from NXT, because the ones that they have now are pretty decent, you know, and some of them are more than decent. I would consider Ryback a success story from NXT or FCW. I would consider Antonio Cesaro one as well. Big E, you know, NXT champion, I would consider him a success. Definitely would consider The Shield a success. So, Fandango, I'm not sold all the way yet. I like Johnny Curtis as a wrestler. He's a good wrestler. Had a interview. He had a angle with Derek Bateman. Had a long feud with him for a while in NXT. And surprisingly enough, Bateman, they didn't really do much with Bateman. He would appear on a SmackDown here and there, but if I'm not mistaken, he was a victim of Ryback in his early weeks. He was a victim of Ryback, and I think that's the last time we saw Bateman on SmackDown. Or on, you know, TV, Raw or SmackDown. So, yeah, hopefully we see more of them. Great question. Continue the questions. Tweet at Crave Wrestling. Log on to the chat room. Call in live 347-884-8452. Mark Henry defeats Santino Marella. As soon as Santino Marella did the April Fool's joke to Vicky Guerrero and Brad Maddox, kind of knew that they were going to go ahead and have him fed to Mark Henry, which is, you know, it was fine. It was fine. I mean, we're not going to get much from Santino Marella anymore. I mean, he's the comedy character. So I think that they did a good job with that. It really didn't make Mark Henry look intimidating. I mean, it didn't really develop him at all, but, you know, it was pretty much a squash match. So, but Santino Marella ended up being a important piece in what happened afterwards, which was Ryback appearing, Mark Henry cutting a promo to him, and reemphasizing the no contact clause that was initiated on SmackDown, and Ryback uses Santino to bump Henry out of the ring, and then Gorilla presses Santino outside to onto Mark Henry. So Santino Marella was a useful piece of that segment, and I'm telling you, I mean, there's mixed emotions, there's mixed feelings about Ryback and Mark Henry, but to be honest with you, that match, I'm looking forward to that match. This is one of the biggest matches I'm looking forward to is Ryback and Mark Henry. Now, of course, it doesn't scream Hogan Andre WrestleMania 3, but at the same time, it is a irresistible force against an immovable object factor that I like. And so, you know, and then on top of that, will Ryback shell shock Mark Henry? So that is another type of suspense that is added on to the match. So I'm looking forward to the match. I was very happy when they were teasing it. I was very happy when I made it official, and I'm looking forward to the match. Definitely, I'll give you my pick on who's going to win in a little bit. CM Punk backstage promo. Still, you know, and I wrote an article on WrestlingInc.com today asking the readers if they thought that CM Punk has gone too far. And we'll get on there towards the latter part of the Raw recap here. But he's continued to take some jabs at Paul Bearer's death. And I'll read some, if I have some time, I'll read some tweets of how Paul Bearer's sons feel about that. We'll get to that a little bit later on. Alberto Del Rio defeats Dave Coulter by disqualification. Coulter hits Del Rio with a crutch. Del Rio grabs the crutch, but he gets clipped by Swagger, and then Swagger and Coulter give Del Rio repeated crutch shots. I'm not that intrigued whatsoever with this feud. I really am not happy that they actually went ahead with this feud leading into WrestleMania. For both of them to be two great wrestlers, you know, sometimes you just don't mesh. And I don't know if I don't think that Del Rio and Swagger will mesh, seeing how their first televised big match will be at WrestleMania and the pressure's on. I mean, you know, MetLife is supposed to have upwards of 75,000 people there, and they both have wrestled at WrestleMania and in marquee matches. Del Rio has fought for the World Heavyweight Championship before, so he's used to it. Swagger, his marquee matchup was Money in the Bank, which he won. So they're familiar with the high pressure atmosphere of WrestleMania. But at the same time, I don't think that it's going to be the match that people think that it's going to be. I think it's going to be a little bit lower than people's standards. I may be wrong, but I think I'm right on this one. Rock and Ring promo. I'm not too sold. Like I said before, I'm not sold on the angle. Rock. It's just, I still feel like I'm stuck in the Attitude Era sometimes when I hear the Rock's promos. Now, the guy can talk. I mean, don't get me wrong. The guy can talk. He's a good mic worker. But it's still a bit cheesy to me. I mean, sometimes, you know, there's some moments that make you laugh. But finally the Rock has come back. You know, that gets kind of stale. But I do like the history lesson things. That is a nice little addition to his mic work, which I'm okay with. I'm okay with it. But, you know, like I said before, a little bit too much talking this year. Hopefully we don't see more Rock and Cena against each other post-WrestleMania, because that would just be overkill to me. Well, Jericho defeats Antonio Cesaro. Good match, as I thought it was going to be. There's a part of me that actually would have preferred Antonio Cesaro to be Jericho's opponent at WrestleMania. But we get Fandango, which attacked Jericho post-match. But he's still getting the "you can't wrestle" chance. Now, the guy can wrestle. I mean, there's a lot of people that listen to the show, and thank you for that. And so everyone who listens to the show, whether live or subscribed through iTunes, Johnny Curtis can wrestle. The guy is a good wrestler. Check out his NXT matches, and even some of his SmackDown matches when R-Truth was his pro on NXT. He can wrestle, and you know, his agility, he's even shown a little bit of that. But I think that I was having a conversation with someone, and there is a such thing as, you know, you get your cheap heat, which is good, but you get what has been coined as X-Pac heat. And X-Pac heat is heat that, okay, there's three types of heat. There's your genuine heel heat, which Punk is good at, which Jericho's good at, etc., Triple H. And then you have your X-Pac heat, which is people who are just legitimately tired of seeing or the person and just want them to go away. And then you have your Charlie Haas heat, which is, I'm not really interested in what you're doing right now. So just, you know, you're wasting my time. You're wasting airtime right now. You're not getting much of any reaction. And I think Fandango is a hybrid between X-Pac heat and Charlie Haas heat. I think that people don't care about him to the fact of saying you can't wrestle. To be honest with you, that is a bit out of ignorance because he can, but I can understand the WWE Universe chanting that from city to city because they're tired of seeing what they're seeing. I mean, first of all, you go week after week of the guy not wrestling because someone said his name wrong. That was okay for a bit, and they just kind of went too far with that. They realized that people were getting a little bit tired of that, and then, you know, here comes the angle with Jericho. And now, you know, we're seeing a more aggressive side of Fandango, but it may be a little bit too late. And again, I'm going to say this again before WrestleMania comes. I think I'm going to be disappointed. But at the same time, I'm just going to say it just to say it because, you know, this is my show and I can make pleas because for those who listen to the show, I did make a plea about Chris Jericho not going against Ryback, and it worked because he's not going against Ryback, so that's good. My other plea is I really hope that Chris Jericho does not put over Fandango. I really hope not. He probably will, but I really hope he doesn't. Because, like I said before, I've written an article on Bleacher Report about this as well. The very fact that Fandango is going against Chris Jericho, it's a singles match. You're going against Chris Jericho, one of the best ever in the WWE as far as wrestling talent. Just not as far as, I'm not even going to dumb it down to that, period. Personality as well. So that in and of itself is an achievement for someone who basically just came out with with this gimmick. So that alone is an achievement. So you can lose the match against Chris Jericho, and that would be a good thing, you know, so because you had your exposure. You can work off of that. So I really hope that Jericho don't put over Fandango, but I'll give you my predictions here soon when we get to that point. So next question. Warlord and the Barbarian is the correct answer on that question there. Great job. Another tweet here. Do you think WWE would or should try to make another wrestler synonymous with the pay-per-view like HBK and Taker are with WrestleMania? Keep the questions coming. Again, thank you for that. No, I don't think so, because WrestleMania, to me, is the only pay-per-view that could have that type of attachment to it. You know, Taker with the streak, HBK, Mr. WrestleMania. At this point in the pay-per-view series of the WWE, there's not really a standout pay-per-view other than WrestleMania and the Royal Rumble. And unless you have someone win, you know, multiple Royal Rumbles, which would just sabotage that concept, you know, or you know, to ration with your question here, maybe someone could say that they're undefeated at the Royal Rumble, to use that as some type of leverage, possibly. Say, for instance, I don't recall the Miz's record at the Royal Rumble, as far as actual matches are concerned. If anybody wants to tweet that or say it in the chat room. I don't know his actual record, but, you know, maybe he can say, I'm the most must-see person on the Royal Rumble because I'm undefeated at the Royal Rumble. Maybe that will work, but it still won't have that type of notoriety as HBK and Taker at WrestleMania. WrestleMania, like I said, WrestleMania is the only pay-per-view that can have that type of attachment. Because, for instance, if someone like Fandango in the next few years say, I'm undefeated at Payback, okay, you know, then so what? You know, that really doesn't mean anything. So, great questions again. Keep them coming. Warlord and Barbarian, we already answered that. Powers of Pain, great job. Next question is, what was Scott Hall's WCW name in the early 90s? What was Scott Hall's WCW name in the early 90s? Speaking of him, he's doing well. His progression is very good at the DDP Yoga. He's housing with DDP and Jake Roberts, and DDP is giving him, doing some transformation. $80,000 goal to have some, you know, for some medical expenses, not only achieved, but exceeded. So the community of, the wrestling community definitely, you know, linked up and supported Scott Hall for that. And he's exceptionally grateful for that. So, I mean, kudos to Scott Hall. I mean, for at least having the willingness to turn his life around. And, you know, we all have, you know, make our mistakes, and, you know, this is coming from a man of faith. But it's one of those things that, you know, if you know, there's a song that talks about, you know, we fall down, but we get up. So it's all about that willingness to try it out, you know, to try again and making this your last time, not to relapse back into that condition, and try to get. I mean, the criticism that he gets a lot is he's been here before. You know, we don't want to endorse someone who had all this money and, you know, kind of blew it on different things, but most of them not good. But at the same time, you know, we get to a point in life that we can't be so high-minded to not insert ourselves, you know, in that situation. You know, there's a scripture that says, you know, take heed lest you fall. So, you know, kudos to Scott Hall, and I think that, you know, he has my support. Jake Roberts does as well, and it would be extremely nostalgic to see a match at WrestleMania 30 with 3MB against Diamond Dallas Page, Jake Roberts, and Scott Hall. I think that would just be phenomenal to me. Again, I'm going to say this because I'm hoping that some WWE executives listen to this show. WrestleMania 30, book it. 3MB versus DDP, Jake Roberts, Scott Hall. I'm all for it. So, kudos to Scott Hall again. And back to the trivia question, what was Scott Hall's WCW name in the early 90s? Bella Twins defeats the Funkadactyls. I think this is just leading to the Babyfaces winning the 8-man match. And once again, I'm going to say this. I like the 8-man match. I think that it's a feel-good match. I think it's a good buffer match. I like the fact that they're actually drawing it out. They're actually building decently for what they could have. I mean, I think all 8 of them should feel privileged because they're working on they're developing an angle between the 8 of them. And you know, this is after we all, you know, a lot of people thought that Tensai and Brodus Clay was odd. Just about from the beginning, I was okay with it just because it gave Tensai an opportunity to really kind of reestablish himself after being hyped so much. And then it gave Road Scholars, you know, kind of a resurgence because they were on a multiple match losing streak. So the very fact that they're developing, they're actually spending some time on this angle and it's not just a throw together match, kudos to the WWE for that. And I'm sure that all 8 of them feels honored and privileged to actually have, you know, a decent build match for WrestleMania. So I think the Bella Twins win. It's just setting them up for a babyface victory. We'll get to the predictions soon again. Undertaker in-ring promo, and this is where the issue comes here as far as what happened. Time is running a bit thin here, so I will give a little synopsis of what happened and then the subsequent reactions from Paul Bearer's sons commenting on what happened. So, of course, you know, if you watched Raw, you saw it. If you didn't, I'm recapping it now. Taker had a promo. And first of all, just sidebar, I'm glad Taker's growing his hair out, at least fuller, kind of like what he did last year, because it was just about bald, and then he had a mohawk the 1000 for all last July. So I think this is suitable, so I'm glad that happened. So that's a good note. But everything after that is not too good. Undertaker calls. He cuts a promo. Then all of a sudden, the Druids come out. Paul Heyman comes out as Paul Bearer, dressed as Paul Bearer with the pale face and everything. We heard the "Oh yes, little call that he does, his what he's known for. And then Punk disguised as a druid attacks the Taker with the urn multiple times, hits him with the urn. And then this is where it really gets extreme. He pours out the ashes of, and it, you know, of course we know that it's not Paul Bearer's, but the whole principle of the matter is the point. He pours out the ashes from the urn onto Taker, also picks some up and rubs it on him, puts it on his face. Now, I don't think that was good booking whatsoever. I think that it was rather tasteless, and, you know, something could have been more creative than that. Like I said, I wrote an article about it on WrestlingInc.com, and, you know, there was mixed reactions, and I can understand those who don't think that it was over the top. You know, at the end of the day, it is sports entertainment. You know, this is building a feud and all of those things. But at the same time, you know, I think that it could have been done differently. My point, to strengthen my point here, Paul Bearer's sons, basically, they were asked for their blessing, so to speak, in this feud to let the WWE go ahead and develop this feud based on the death of Paul Bearer. They gave the WWE their blessing, Michael and Daniel Moody, the sons of Paul Bearer. Now, Michael Moody wrote this on Facebook about this segment. He says, quote, "If anyone is wondering, yes, WWE did come to us wanting approval for tonight's storyline. The way it was presented to us was okay. Seeing it on screen was a different story. I don't even know what to say." And then his brother commented, "Totally different." So I don't see how you can get anything positive from that. You know, I don't think that could be misconstrued whatsoever as far as their feelings on the conclusion of Raw, and I would have to favor their views about this. I do think it was tasteless, and, you know, I don't think it's a matter of being sensitive or anything like that. Like I said, I will be rational enough to realize that it did, and I even wrote this in my article, it does bring more passion to the feud. It does make The Undertaker more vulnerable, which are good things, which I don't think that the addition of Paul Bearer's death is necessarily totally bad. But I think that the conclusion of last night's Raw was a bit tasteless. Well, I'm saying a bit just to be nice. I do think it was rather tasteless, to be honest. And we shouldn't do that. I remember the higher power gimmick when they were sacrificing Stephanie McMahon and Austin. You know, people refer back to the Attitude Era, and that was tasteless as well. But, you know, the Katie Vick and the Boss Man and Big Show angle about the when he latched the casket and drove away. Now, we know that the death was not real. We know that Katie Vick was some, you know, basically some mythological character, you know, and we know those things were just kind of wacko inventions. Now, this is real, though. I mean, Paul Bearer legitimately, he actually passed away, and you know, just acting upon cremation, pouring his ashes, you know, that would never be an honor or honorable action to do, no matter how you slice it. So that's my take on it. And the pallbearer's sons, Michael and Daniel, they have different views on it as far as what they initially expected from that. So, you know, it happened, though. I mean, you know, we just have to move on from it, and it will be a good match between Undertaker and CM Punk, and they pulled out all the stops to make the Undertaker weak in a sense, to not make it a lock for as far as in people's minds as far as getting Undertaker to win. So it worked. You know, like I said, the addition worked. It worked for what it was intended to do. It did make Undertaker look vulnerable. So I will give them that. So I'll leave it on that note. All right, Diamond Stud is the correct answer. I'm gonna ask another tweet. I'm gonna ask another question via tweet here. Again, at Crave Wrestling, tweet at Crave Wrestling. If Punk does take time off after WrestleMania, who do you think fills the void as WWE's top heel? Good question again. For those who don't know, there is some strong talks of CM Punk taking some time off. He's pretty banged up for a little while. And I would say that WWE's top heel, I would probably give that to Dolph Ziggler only because he'll cash in the Money in the Bank. Now, I don't see Dolph Ziggler anywhere near the WWE title picture. I don't think that he's over enough. I don't think that he's a draw. I like Ziggler, but I think that his popularity has diminished over the past year or two. When he was at the Royal Rumble, he was at the Royal Rumble 2012 against CM Punk, I think that's the closest that he could have ever had winning the WWE title. And I don't see him winning the WWE title, I'm not going to say ever, but anytime soon. But I think they can and they should make more light of the World Heavyweight Championship, because it's not very relevant right now with what we're seeing with Del Rio and Swagger. Have Ziggler cash it in, make him the top heel, have another babyface vie for the title. My second choice would be Randy Orton, because I think that they're going to go ahead and pull the trigger on the turn. And Randy Orton definitely, you know, is WWE championship worthy. He's had multiple WWE championships. And Randy Orton and Cena feud revived would be good, leading to Money in the Bank or leading to SummerSlam. So that's my take on it. Great question again. All right, let's go to SmackDown real quick. We got The Rock in the ring promo. Good to see The Rock on SmackDown, by the way. Story time with The Rock. Like I said, it was in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I'm okay with that addition. I'm okay with the story time with The Rock additions that he does. Interrupted by John Laurinaitis. Offers to be in Rock's corner at WrestleMania. By the way, Derek, our Raw correspondent, unfortunately not able to join us today, but he does send his well wishes for the show today, and he is looking forward to WrestleMania, and he'll be back next week. Rock Gibbs, Lord Knight is the People's Elbow. Good to see Big Johnny back. Most likely it's a one-off thing, but good to see Lord Knight is back. It was a good segment. Chris Jericho defeats Wade Barrett. Good match. Jericho mocks Fandango's name. Fandango appears. Teases showdown with Jericho, but walks away. Paul Heyman sit-down interview. Mark Henry and Ryback bench press contest. I like this segment. This is a good segment. It was 225 pounds. Mark Henry started off. He did 53 reps, and then Ryback followed him. He was on 53. He was about to achieve 54, but Mark Henry grabs the bar and chokes him. Good segment. I was a big fan of it, and I think that it really helped with adding more fuel to the fire between those two. And I like the Ryback and Mark Henry feud. It's one of my most anticipated matches heading into WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan and Caitlin defeats Dolph Ziggler and AJ Lee. We get a promo from The Shield. Jack Swagger and the Great Khali leads to a double countout because Swagger patriot locks Khali outside ring. Khali is just his role in the WWE is just really some kind of spot filler. He's a big guy, very tall, big guy, could be intimidating, and he's just really to make people look good now. He's like a poor man's version of Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho has a ton of merits, a ton of accolades, and he actually wants to do it. The Great Khali was forced to us to become a world heavyweight champion via a battle royal, which was still a bad decision, but that's his biggest achievement. He's been a world heavyweight champion. That is a big deal. He's going to continue to be in those matches where only former world heavyweight champions could be contenders, and Michael Cole is going to continue to say, "Oh, he defeated the former world heavyweight champion, the Great Khali." So it's a publicity tool to help the other person go over more. Such as Mark Henry, such as Antonio Cesaro. So that's probably the only good thing that it's being utilized for as far as Great Khali is concerned. I don't dislike the Great Khali. I just don't think there's much use for him. Then we had Ricardo Rodriguez distracting Jack Swagger. Del Rio attacking Swagger in ring. Then we get Sheamus, Randy Orton, and Big Show backstage interview. And they had a match against Antonio Cesaro and Team Road Scholars, which they win. And the Shield appears in the crowd. But Randy Orton, Big Show, and Sheamus go after the Shield and attack him in the crowd. So I like how they did that. That's another match I'm looking forward to be honest. All right, let's go to Impact Wrestling. Then we got ROH, and then we're going to do some predictions. And then we're going to talk about the Undertaker streak. So, Diamond Stud was the correct answer for Scott Hall's WCW name in the early 90s. Next question is, who managed Umaga? It's pretty easy. Who managed Umaga? The late Umaga. Impact Wrestling, open fight night. We get a in-ring promo from Jeff Hardy, interrupted by Bully Ray and Aces and Eights. Anderson insults Hardy, and it results in Hardy hitting him. Real quick, I've said this before, I write an Impact Wrestling review on WrestlingInc.com after every Impact. And first of all, Jonesboro, Arkansas, great place to choose a show. because they were a good crowd. And I'm liking, again, I'm telling you, I'm liking Impact Wrestling. I'm liking what I'm seeing overall. Wasn't a big fan of Open Fight Night, but overall I'm liking what I'm seeing. Liking the I'm liking the traveling. That was one of the biggest things that they need to really legitimize themselves as the number two show, and I think that they're definitely doing it now because they're getting some good responses from these crowds. The numbers that I were given were 6,000 to 7,000 people. So that's a big deal, and I'm really happy that they're going ahead with the traveling and taking it on the road for good. With that being said, I don't like Ken Anderson and Aces and Eights. Bad idea. I was kind of okay with it when he didn't say anything, but now he's going back to his Anderson character, and it just kind of defies the whole point of Aces and Eights. Now, I got some flack for this on my review, and I got some comment that was saying I shouldn't compare. I think I compared Zack Ryder to Jeff Hardy, and saying Zack Ryder he's over with the crowd and he gets good merchandise, but he's still not a top guy. Which and I believe that Hardy, Hardy's time is up. I think that he will be there. For instance, The Undertaker, for a long point of his career, was not necessarily vying for the title hunt, for either title. But he was still, winning WrestleManias. He was still making people famous, so to speak. So just because you're a top guy doesn't automatically mean you have to be in the main event scene. Case in point, John Cena. The last time he was really in the main event scene. Well, he was in the main event scene last summer, around SummerSlam, had the triple threat match with the Big Show and CM Punk. But at the same time, I believe he had a match at Night of Champions against CM Punk as well, and then Brad Maddox kind of screwed the cover. But he wasn't in it for the majority of the year. Although I wasn't a fan of the fact that he was still main eventing, it still wasn't for the title. The point is, Jeff Hardy doesn't need to necessarily vie for the championship. I said before, Kurt Angle should have stepped in that position now because he has the most affiliation with Aces and Eights out of all the top baby faces. But going back to Ken Anderson, just too much talking. That segment was just way too much talking from Ken Anderson. He should not be talking so much because, like I said, it defies the whole point of Aces and Eights, especially with his character. Now, Devon is more kind of no-nonsense. That's his approach now with his mic work. Same with Bully Ray. Do you know who I am? Bully Ray's great on the mic. Very fitting of Aces and Eights, but Ken Anderson, definitely not. His character just, there's nothing about his character that says Aces and Eights whatsoever. So that was a step back to me as far as Aces and Eights are concerned. Then we get Angle, Magnus, Eric Young, Samoa Joe making the save. Hardy challenges Anderson. Chavo Hernandez defeats Bad Influence for the number one contenders tag team title. And I'm gonna go through all of these results, but I do want to talk about this for a second. This match was phenomenal. The tag team division can really be resurrected back to how it was when we were seeing a best out of seven between Beer Money and the Motor City Machine Guns, like that good. We can revive that by having matches like this. Hernandez, I mean, if his mic work was halfway decent, he'd be such a huge draw in the United States. He is a big draw in Mexico, but you don't necessarily need phenomenal promos or good promos to be over in Mexico. Mexico has some good promotions, CMLL and AAA, but it's more athleticism. What in the States is athleticism is a huge factor, but if you're charismatic, you can kind of be, you know, you can kind of get away with some things. Hernandez is charismatic in the ring, but his personality is flat, you know, and you know, yeah, it saddens me because I really like Hernandez and I really think that he can go far if he could work on his charisma. But, you know, Chavo and Hernandez are the number one contenders now for the tag team titles. Terrence Terrell calls out Gail Kim. Gail Kim and Tara attacks Terrell, and Velvet Sky makes a save. I'm bored by Terrence Terrell and Gail Kim. Velvet Sky is the Knockouts champion. She's not even the primary person, and it's the primary focus. That's not good. Sting calls out Hulk Hogan. They argue in the ring. They nearly fight. Security escorts Sting to the back. James Storm calls out by AJ Styles. He calls out AJ Styles, and Styles appears in the crowd. Ace and Nace attack Storm. Eric Young appears to make the save, but gets outnumbered. And then Kurt Angle comes out, evens it out, and they challenge Ace and Nace to a six-man match. Ace and Nace gets a cheap win due to D'Lo's distraction and Briscoe roll-up, which is good. Continues some momentum from Ace and Nace. Sanjay Dutt, Mason Andrews, which is known in the Indies as Scorpio Sky, also known as Harold, in the anger management segments that Daniel Bryan and Kane had. And Petey Williams are the candidates to fill the third spot for the X Division title match. We'll compete for the spot this coming Thursday. I'm looking forward to that match. I'm a big Petey Williams fan. The Canadian Destroyer is one of the sickest moves that I've seen, period. And I've followed wrestling, and I've seen a whole lot of moves. And the Canadian Destroyer is a great move. Anderson defeats Jeff Hardy by disqualification. Hardy hits the Anderson and Bischoff with the hammer. Further beats down Anderson and eventually tries to swanton Anderson on table, but Bully makes a save. Hardy tells Bully that the stipulation would be Full Metal Mayhem. It'll be a good match, but again, I'm not a big fan of Hardy being the number one contender. Real quick, TNA, special shout out to Scrap Iron Adam Pearce. A lot of people, those who follow NWA, know that he's really been popular in the NWA, winning the NWA World Championship multiple times, having some good feuds. Good to see Adam Pearce and having an opportunity to win the Gut Check Challenge. The other person, Magneto, I believe his name was. Not too familiar with him, but I'm definitely familiar with Adam Pearce, and hopefully we'll see him more in TNA. Ring of Honor, Kevin Steen and Jay Briscoe confront each other in ring, interrupted by Steve Corino. Scum, Mark Briscoe, Coleman Alexander appear, leads to next match. Cliff Compton, by the way, this was Scum versus ROH for the whole show. Cliff Compton and Red Titus defeats Coleman Alexander. Coleman Alexander, I said this before, but that's another team that I'm really high on. Coleman Alexander and Bad Influence are two of my favorite teams out in wrestling right now. Interference by Jimmy Rave and Jimmy Jacobs. And then Jimmy Jacobs defeats Mike Mondo. Steve Corino, Rhino, and Matt Hardy defeats BJ Whitmer, Michael Elgin, and Jay Lethal. So we get a clean sweep by Scum, leading to the Supercard of Honor pay-per-view this coming Friday. So nice little development there with Scum. I like what I'm seeing at Ring of Honor. Finally, they have something to work with. For a while, it was just small feuds, but a lot of wrestling, but looks like they're doing more and trying to build on the feuds. All right, let's go to the flavor of the week, and then we'll go to the predictions. Let's just talk about the Undertaker streak for a second here. We'll start off with WrestleMania 7, it defeats Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Just not really nothing to happen there. To lead up to the match, it was just kind of thrown into there. It was a squash match. Taker was a heel. But Superfly Snuka was a good name to establish him. WrestleMania 8 was one of my favorites with Jake the Snake Roberts. Ultimate Warrior kind of left, and this kind of caused the Jake turned heel after the whole "Do you trust me" thing with this weeks of vignettes with Warrior, aligned himself with the Undertaker, and then Jake and Savage was having something. The Undertaker kind of turned face and led to that match. It was a great match. And it was Robert's last appearance, I believe, for a while. I think it was until he came back with the whole Revelations snake and unfortunately the Jim Bean episode with Jerry Lawler. Then we get WrestleMania 4, Giant Gonzalez. Such a horrible match. Taker defeats Kamala, and then Harvey Whippleman brings in someone else. Yeah, El Gigante / Giant Gonzalez. He won by DQ, by the way. I believe that was his only DQ win. Yeah, it was just... it was horrible. King Kong Bundy, I wasn't a big fan of that match either. That was WrestleMania 11. WrestleMania 12 was Diesel. Good match. I like the build-up for that as well. Had some Bret Hart involvement there. And so that led to the match between The Undertaker and Diesel. Basically, Bret Hart kind of felt that he should have been a part of it and kind of distracted Diesel in the match. So that was a good match between there. Sid was okay. The WrestleMania 13. I like Sid a lot, actually. Their match was okay. Sid did play the I'm not intimidated by The Undertaker type of person and type of character, which was good. But you know, Taker wins that one. Once again, that was at WrestleMania 13. It was win number 6. Win number 7 was against Kane at WrestleMania 14. Very interesting match. He basically had to tombstone him 3 times. It was a steel chair that I believe he finally had to tombstone him on. So yeah, I mean, that was a good match. That was a good match to lead into Kane and Undertaker eventually becoming brothers of destruction and being allies and enemies. I believe 2009 was Kane's resurgence, became World Heavyweight Championship, and had a match at Hell in a Cell against The Undertaker, and he won that match, actually. Number 8 was WrestleMania 15 against the Big Boss Man in the Hell in a Cell match. That was a little odd, but there was some animosity between the Ministry of Darkness, and the corporation. They had some animosity, so they both weren't necessarily fan favorites. So That's quite interesting. So I got a call here. I'm going to take this call. Let us know your name, where you're from, and your thoughts. You're on air.
Hey, what's going on? This is Bob from Sandusky.
Hey, Bob.
I just wanted to get my thoughts. Hey, what's going on? Yeah, we had the big show, Sheamus and Orton, last night against the Shield. For WrestleMania, that should be a pretty good match. I'm kind of looking forward to that. You know, the Big Show's been around forever. Or the Big Show, I'm sorry. The Big Show, Sheamus and Orton. It's about time that the Shield does something. They've been around for a long time, at least, you know, since last November. Are they ever going to do anything? I hope they do, at least something soon. CM Punk, you had the boring chance last night. And him against The Undertaker, that's kind of a poor match for The Undertaker coming up for WrestleMania. The Undertaker deserves much better, especially with his streak 20-0. It's an easy match for The Undertaker. I hope they build something a little more to it, but seeing how WrestleMania is this Sunday, probably not too much is going to go on. You saw HBA come out last night. He had his little camo vest. That was kind of dorky for HBK. We can all be honest about that. However, you know, you got to respect the resilience of HBK. So Triple H comes out, defends HBK. They defend each other. You got the old-fashioned, this is what the Attitude Era brought to WrestleMania. This is what the Attitude Era brought to WWF. So it's fun to see that happen, but it's kind of weak and watered down now. Then you had Ryback versus Mark Henry at WrestleMania. That is going to be a good blockbuster match. Mark Henry, again, he's someone who's been around forever. Is that good for Ryback or is that good for Mark Henry? Who's going to benefit from this match? Ryback's lost so many times in the last few months. They build him up to be something spectacular. However, Mark Henry's always been the world's strongest man, but he's been a bit of a jobber. And The Rock had a good promo. He has good hype behind him. He knows what's going to happen. You know, he knows how to work the crowd with John Cena coming out earlier, giving his part, and then The Rock comes out and gives his part. This is the third year in a row for WrestleMania for The Rock to be against John Cena. So, again, what's going to happen? It's almost inevitable. John Cena's probably The Rock's got bigger and better things to do. I'll just leave it at that. Good matches at WrestleMania. Y2J last night, the Fandango comes out. Y2J, people say this so many times, he can do nothing but help whoever he is against. And Y2J is going to do that. Fandango can, we'll see what he's made of. He can come and go. That's all. It's all good for Fandango, and I just want to see something spectacular come out of that, especially with Y2J. The Hall of Fame show is going to be great. You've got Bruno Sammartino, somebody big and so awesome to come out, somebody that was a big name in the 70s, early 80s. He's hated the WWE, but the Hall of Fame show is going to be something to watch. And the Taker and CM Punk coming out, you had Holy Dangerously as the Druid and as a fake Paul Bearer. Again, it's wrestling. That's what happens. So let's all look forward to WrestleMania. Let's hope something happens out of it. And let's get what your comments are. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob. Appreciate that. Your little raw synopsis there, I see. But yeah, I think that, like I said, I think Ryback and Mark Henry is going to be a good match. Ryback hasn't run a pay-per-view since, I believe it was Money in the Bank last July. So that's not good for Ryback's any type of dominance that Ryback tries to portray. Not on pay-per-views, as far as what we see. So, let's get back to the Undertaker real quick, then we'll get to the WrestleMania predictions. Keep your tweets coming. Keep your comments coming on chat line. Armando Alejandro Estrada is the correct answer for who managed the MAGA. Great job. Next question is, who was known as the Z-Man? All right, let's go to Taker's ninth win at WrestleMania 17 was Triple H. To me, it was the best WrestleMania. That was absolutely phenomenal. That match was really good, one of the best matches of the night. 10th win was against Ric Flair, WrestleMania 18. I'm glad that they chose Flair. I'm glad that Flair was one of the people on the streak. That's a really good thing for Flair. I have the Undertaker 20-0 DVD, and Flair said that he was humbled and honored that the Undertaker wanted to start a program with him leading into WrestleMania that year. WrestleMania 19 was his 11th win. Just not good. Big Show and A-Train. They were going to have Nathan Jones be a part of that. That was just awful. WrestleMania 20 was Kane. He was getting back to his dead man gimmick, so that was great. 21 was Orton, rising star at the time. So that was a good choice there. Casket match, 22, Mark Henry. I guess it was one of those things that don't really understand why Henry was chosen, but in hindsight, Henry's the man, and so that was definitely a good moment of his career. That was 7 years ago, in 2006. WrestleMania 23, by the way, Great Khali came that year and was feuded against The Undertaker. Very interesting there. WrestleMania 23 was Batista, great match. That was for the World Heavyweight Championship. Edge was 24. Went number 16 at WrestleMania 24. That was a great match. Interesting little note, the Edgeheads interfered too, which was Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins. And Edge really did a good job with kind of making it seem like The Undertaker may lose. So that was good. 25th anniversary, Taker's 17th win was Shawn Michaels. Probably his best match of the whole streak. That match was absolutely phenomenal. The next year was Michaels again, retirement match. Good match, didn't live up to 25, but it was still a really good match. And I was hoping that Shawn Michaels, I think it was probably the only WrestleMania, I think maybe I wanted Shawn Michaels the one of the year before too, but I think out of the 20 wins, there's only two of them that I was actually rooting for someone other than The Undertaker. 19 was Triple H, their second one. And this was kind of going back on Triple H, kind of piggybacking off of the Shawn Michaels retirement. And then 20 was against Triple H as well. 20 was probably The Undertaker's second best match of his streak. That was a phenomenal match, Hell in a Cell. I was a little bit leery that they were trying to do it again, but it was a great match. I was very impressed with that match. All right, real quick. So far, there's 10 matches. There's 9 on the show and 1 in the pre-show. Pre-show is Wade Barrett versus The Miz. I got Barrett winning that one. Don't see Barrett losing whatsoever. Tons of Funk and Funkadactyls against Team Road Scholars and Bella Twins. I see the Babyfaces winning this one. Tons of Funk and the Funkadactyls, just because of what we've seen in the previous weeks leading to the show here, leading to the pay-per-view. Chris Jericho and Fandango. As much as it hurts me so much to say this, I do believe that Chris Jericho will lose this match, unfortunately, and put Fandango over, although I don't believe that he needs to. but I think, unfortunately, he's going to lose this match. Brock Lesnar and Triple H, they meet again. I believe Triple H is going to win this one. Triple H is not going to retire. I mean, that's just not going to happen. Kane and Daniel Bryan against Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston. I don't see Big E winning a tag team title his first match his first legitimate match on TV. And plus, Ziggler, Ziggler has his case. I don't see that happening. So Kane and Daniel Bryan retains it. Ryback defeats Mark Henry. Starts his revival as a top babyface. To me, I see a Ryback and Dolph Ziggler feud in the near future. The Shield will defeat Sheamus, Randy Orton, and Big Show. They will continue their reign of terror. I expect this match to be a good match too. Del Rio and Jack Swagger, it's tough because I really don't care. But I do think that Swagger kind of messed up with his DUI and his, you know, everything that came along with that. He's not getting very over either. And they're trying to do their best to keep Del Rio over as a Latin babyface, so I believe Del Rio keeps the title. Undertaker defeats CM Punk. CM Punk's not going to break the streak. And then finally, I do believe, and people very well know that I'm not a fan of either one of them, but I will say that I believe that John Cena will win and will defeat The Rock and will win his 11th, I believe, WWE Championship. Not a fan of it, but I do want Cena to win, actually, because I'm not a fan of just the part-time Rock. I mean, you know, he's G.I. Joe, number one in box offices. I'm totally okay with him doing movies, but him being champion and not making many appearances, I mean, it just kind of, you know, doing two things at once. Yeah, he can do his movies. You know, that'll be okay. Tom Zink, to end it off, great job. Follow at Crave Wrestling. Great show, by the way, leading into WrestleMania. Follow at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Like Crave Wrestling on Facebook. Any inquiries, cravewrestling@gmail.com. Check me out on Bleacher Report and WrestlingInc.com. Other than that, thank you so much for listening. Until next week, have a great week. Enjoy WrestleMania. Have a lot of fun and be safe. God bless. Goodbye.